things that interrupt our life and put us in a little bit of intrepidation about our health and all that kind of stuff. So I just say that to encourage you today, just in case any doctor has said anything negative to you in your life, because we believe in the healing power of the name of Jesus. That's the way we believe. And so keep on believing. Don't give up. Doctor or Jesus? I choose Jesus. Amen. I like his word. I like what his promises are. They're yay and amen. He likes me, and so I like him, and we're walking in a good relationship, and that's the way everything should be in our life. Praise God. Could you put up my slide there, please, Amanda? Welcome to church. Trust you are on for Jesus. Amen. Fire for Jesus. Are you on fire for Jesus, or are you just kind of docile? Fire for Jesus. Fire for Jesus. What does it mean to be on fire for Jesus? You know, and I'll let you answer that, but you know, it's when, you know, we walk in the dust and the dirt and the commonness of this life, and then when you come to Jesus, you feel that spark. And when you feel that spark, he wants to fan the flame. And when you get the spark of Jesus, the fire can only produce more fire, so it's up to us to allow that fire to come into our lives and to be fanned, and the flames getting higher and higher and higher, higher and higher and higher. Amen? Sounds good. So, trust you're on fire for Jesus. Now, as we're into 2017, this is the third week, almost through the month of January, but New Year's resolutions, did you make any, or are you really faux pas on that kind of stuff? You just kind of can't stand New Year's resolutions. You broke so many in your life that you just don't believe in them anymore. Amen? So you don't believe in New Year's resolutions. But what does the Bible mean to us? There's Barna Group. I don't know if you ever heard of the Barna Group, but they do statistics and surveys and everything else. And they want to know, because everybody does New Year's resolutions about, you know, overweight and stop smoking, stop drinking, stop this, stop that, and everything else. And usually by the 3rd or 4th of January, they're right back at it anyway. But anyway, they said, you know, what does the Bible really mean to us? When we approach this new year, and a lot of people, you know, when you close out one year, you're saying, I want to get better, on fire for Jesus in the new year. And so what is going to put you on fire is the Bible. Amen. The Word of God will take you deeper and allow you to go higher in God. So Barna Research did a study of those who make New Year's resolutions at the turn of every year. And they came up with this. Do you wish you read? Do you wish you read the Bible more or not? 36% said no. That's alarming, isn't it? When you think that, you know, no, I don't want to read the Bible anymore. 36%, that's over a third of people who don't want to read the Bible any more than what they've got. But 61% said, yes, I like that. Sounds good that people want to read the Bible and they're making those New Year's resolutions and they want to get to that very place in their life. So I kind of like that they want to do that. So I don't know if you've made any New Year's resolutions, but those are statistics, and they're coming from Barna Group, and they do it from the United States of America, where President Trump is in charge now. Amen? Did you watch the inauguration? Yeah. Wow, there's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of people are either for him or against him. It's going to be a real rocky boat down there south of the border for a little bit of what time. Amen? Anyway, I spoke a little bit about music last week, and I believe that music is powerful. I'm just going to go over these slides because I just didn't want to bore you with these. But anyway, music is really an interesting part of our life. Music is biblical. It's powerful. It's something that we need. I don't know if you're a music type person. I have music in my life all the time. I love music. And so today, keep going. The results are higher up in music, in our life in Jesus, or why we cannot afford to lose our music today. That's what, if I could give a message title today, that would be it. Why we cannot afford to lose our music. When I was coming in this morning, I was very grateful to hear one song playing. Betty and I come in. Betty and I were sitting there this week because I sense that God wants to send a river into our church. And I was thinking, you know, it doesn't matter the type of music we like. Like, I'm sure that everybody has their own flavor of music that they like, and the style and everything else. There's gospel quartet, there's rock music, if you want to call that music, and everything else is pop music, rap music. You know, if you guys are into rap music, good for you, and all that kind of stuff. But there's all kinds of stuff that is out there, the country, western, everything that you can think of that would encourage you in your walk. But anyway, I was sitting there this week, and I think, God, I just want to see a river flow. I just want to see a river flow. And I started thinking of all the songs about a river, and then we came in this morning, Betty and I, and we heard the song, Let the River Flow. I looked at Betty and said, wow, that's cool. We're going over this week all the songs about a river, and then we walk in and we hear it playing as the worship team was practicing this morning. Who is it that wrote that? Did you check it out?
It's not on our sheet.
I can't remember his name. Betty and I, we went and heard his concert in Oakville, and I can't remember the guy's name that wrote the Let the River Flow. He's written a lot of our worship songs. So, but as I started thinking about that, I asked Betty, I said, do you know any songs with the word river in it? Because, you know, over the years, we've heard a lot of songs. Do you ever remember a hymn that says, shall we gather at the river? Gather with the saints at the river that flows. Amen. Hallelujah. And then there's other kind of like quartet songs like, let's all go down to the river. There's a man walking on the water. Yep. That style of music. Yeah. Then, oh, the river of God sets our feet a-dancing. The river of God fills our heart with cheer. Remember these songs? We've sung them over the years. And there is a river that flows from deep within. I mean, this is what Betty and I were doing this week. Is that okay if I share that with you? Just kind of tell you about the river that we were feeling like. And I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river. Like a river, I've got peace like a river. Then I've noticed there's a lot of other songs you probably wouldn't know. Chris Tomlin has got a song called The River. And the Desperation Band has a song, Take Me to the River. Jesus Culture has a song, In the River. And we've got the, oh. As I started thinking about this, God, it doesn't matter what kind of music we like. The thing is, we've got to get to the river. We've got to get to the river. So whatever encourages you, whatever music you have, whatever takes you to that place in your life where the Holy Spirit begins to flow, we all need to get down to the river and enjoy the river of God. Amen? And just enjoy the songs about the river. Now, something else neat. When I find something neat, I like to share these things with you, okay? Take out the hymnal that's in front of you that has dust all over it and take the dust off it. And we always put our songs up the front here, and so you've got a hymnal. Now, would you turn to hymn number 103? Are you there? Okay, number 103 says, deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus, daily let me go. Isn't that cool? Then that says, higher, higher, in the school of wisdom. You know, was this song here for me? Like, deeper, deeper, higher, higher. I thought that was kind of cool of that one song. And then I turned over the page to 103. Oh, sorry, 104. Turn over the page, not 103. Like, deeper, 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 deeper. And then 104, higher, higher. Isn't that cool? It was for me anyway. I guess you didn't. Praise God. Amen. I love music. Children love music. You know, there's all those songs over the years about kids, and they sing the songs, and the songs, and they're really basically scriptural songs, you know. Come listen to my tale of Jonah and the whale, way down in the middle of the ocean, you know, all those kinds of songs that the kids sang over the years. And kids, they like them. I believe that we're encouraging our kids when they sing songs like that is to get music in their heart, brings them closer to Jesus. It prepares them for deeper worship music, deeper time when the river begins to flow into their hearts. And so I believe it's essential that we get our children into music at a young age. And I'm talking about Christian music. Songs that talk about Jesus. And music and its powers is great and awesome. It's the nation of Israel, they sang, and we probably all know that the Jewish people, they have that flair of music. They put a lot of the scriptures to music. If you were to go through some of the scriptures, you'd realize, and if you go through Psalms, it says a song, and you'll see that a lot of these things were set to music. It loses kind of the translation from what it was in the ancient Hebrew to what it is in English because they had the verses and the lyrics set in order and all those things. But I believe that the nation of Israel, because God gave them songs in times of their trials and times of their victories and times that they went through, and they set these things to music so that they could pass them on to the children. So the children would get these songs and they'd drive them deep in their heart. And when they were going through the things in their life, they would take that song that mom and dad had taught them, and they would have that as a victory march in their life. And so we need music in our lives. And I realize that the nation of Israel, when Moses was their deliverer and took them out of that Egyptian slavery, and they found themselves, after they came out, they came to the body of water called the Red Sea. And there they were in front of that Red Sea, water in front of them, and basically desert and hills and everything on each side of them. And then along came Pharaoh, who changed his mind and wasn't going to let the Israelites go. And so he pursued them, says the Word of God, and he pursued them to the very place where they were all standing there with the Red Sea in front of them, and the Egyptian army was behind them, and God allowed that big cloud to come along and stand right there between the nation of Israel and all the Egyptian forces. Isn't that powerful? You know, I'd like to see something like that today, too. That'd be really, really cool. But God intervened there with Moses, and we know the Bible that when Moses saw this predicament, God came down and just told him, he says, put your staff in the water, raise your hands, and split those waters. And of course, it wasn't Moses doing it. It was God working through Moses, just like anything that you and I do. We pray, we do everything that we can, but it's God who does all the things that are around us. And so the waters parted, and the nation of Israel went across on dry ground through that Red Sea. God's pillar was right there, keeping those Egyptian forces right intact. They couldn't move. Then all of a sudden, it was lifted. As the nation of Israel got to the other side, they put their feet on the other side of the Red Sea. The waters started coming in as the nation of the Egyptian forces were going through, and they were overflown by the water, and all the Egyptian forces were drowned in the water. And at that very point, all the people rose up and began to sing. And in Exodus chapter 15, then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. Do you know that song? How many yes? How many no? Wow. That's an old song. I'm surprised a lot of people. You know, it's a great song. That's what they sang back then. And we put it to music of our present day. And we don't sing that song much anymore, but maybe we should, because it's a real victory song. It's a song where God triumphs through his people. They're delivered. They're saved. They're set free. And the power, there's power in the name of Jesus. I mean, this song that Moses and Israel sang on the shores on the other distant side of the Red Sea is a powerful song that's recorded in Exodus chapter 15. You should read it sometime. Go through that whole chapter and read that song that they all sang. And it shows us really three things about that very situation that had happened, because Moses' song celebrates what God has done. Right? That song celebrates what God has done. And if you read in chapter 15 of Exodus from verses 1 to 10, it describes God like a warrior, majestic in his power, and that God in his power threw Pharaoh's chariots and his army into the sea. It's what God has done. What's God has done? We need to sing songs like that. And then Moses' song celebrates who God is. Verse 11 in Exodus chapter 15 says, "Who is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" Telling the people who God is, what he's like. Then the song celebrates what God will do for people who believe in him. Verse 14 to 17, Exodus chapter 15, speak about other nations who, when they hear of us coming, will put fear into them because of what God has done. Wouldn't it be good, because when we walk into the workplace and the places we go with our family all around us, wouldn't it be good to see the fear of God flow through us into them, and that they would start thinking more about God because of us in their very presence? That's what God wants. I mean, that's all they needed to do. Trust God, follow God, stand upon his word, no doubting, no looking back, just heading toward what God has for them. I mean, with their life and what they went through, life is kind of like that. We get into the front of a Red Sea, something behind us, all these obstacles on each side of us, and we're like that in life. And that's all we need to do is just trust in God, right? That's real easy to do, right? Yes. Not. We know what we're like. We know what happened to Israel, because if you were to read in Exodus chapter 15, right after they sang this victory song, they get to the place where they don't have any water. And they start complaining and murmuring, and why have we been brought out here in the desert to die? There's no water. Like, oh, what's going on here? I mean, they didn't trust God. Even with those 12 spies sent out to look at the land God had already given them, 10 spies, we know, that brought an evil report, and 2 spies by the name of Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report. We can do this. We can do it. We're believing. We're believing God. So what happened? As we look over the years of those 40 years of wanderings, what happens to the music when it stops? What happens to us when the song in our heart stops? What happens to us when we no longer sing the songs to glorify our God and talk about the power of the name of Jesus? What happens to us when the music stops? You know, as I look through all the travelings of the nation of Israel, I mean, did God disappear? No. Did the music fade away? Who let it fade away? The people. Was it no longer relevant to trust God in all their future events? That's what they were going through, those things, and perhaps some things that you and I go through in our life as we walk for the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we can decide to fill our homes and our thoughts with songs that celebrate what God has done, who he is, and what he will surely do in our life. We can fill ourselves with songs to those very 3 things, like they had back in that song in Exodus chapter 15. We can fill our life with the songs that will encourage us and get us closer to Jesus. So it's important that our spiritual growth and our peace of mind, but if we don't forget all the music that we've got, or forget the God that we love, and if we do all that, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Keep the music. Keep the music going. Keep the song going. And I'd like to go to one of those spies today who gave that good report. His name is the name of Joshua, because as you look at Joshua, I look at him, and he's not too far off in what he encountered in his life than any one of us. You know, when we look at some of these people in the Bible, we look at the Moses and the Joshuas, and we tend to look at some of these in the Bible as super spiritual people, and they didn't go through the things that we go through, and they're super spiritual, and we certainly aren't like them. But I want to let you know, they went through the same things that you and I are going through, and we're going through the same things that they went through. We've got the same feelings. We've got the same attacks of the enemy, the same temptations, the same responses to life situations. I was reading the other day in my chronological reading in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, even the Savior of the Lord Jesus Christ was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. I mean, it's before us that everybody goes through the same stuff. We're all going through the same stuff. So all we go through is common to this life. That's why Jesus came. Thank God. That's why Jesus came. So let's look at Joshua. Could you turn with me to Joshua chapter 1 this morning? I put Joshua, the first 9 verses up there. I put it in tiny print so you wouldn't look at it. You turn your Bibles. Is that okay? I mean, it's there. You can follow along if you've got supervision. Can you see it, John? Joshua chapter 1. Shout amen when you're there. Begin at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. You know, God will always speak. God will always speak. Doesn't matter if you're a follower or if you feel that you're insignificant or anything else. I mean, Joshua must have been feeling so insignificant. Now the leader's gone. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? God spoke to him. God spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wow, what a powerful message. God spoke to Joshua. That is a powerful portion of Scripture. I don't know about you, but I get goosebumps when I read it, thinking this is what God said to Joshua, the nation of Israel, and the power of what God wanted to do. I mean, this is one of those portions of Scripture that we've read perhaps many, many times, and it brings life into our lives. How about you? But I get encouraged by it. Why is that? Because it has words of encouragement to press on, and often we need to hear that. These are words to keep going, keep doing, keep forging ahead. And if we want to go higher this year, then we need to be encouraged to do that from this pulpit, from the pews beside us, from the people around us. Folks, let us not pull down this year. Let us build up and encourage. Amen. Let us be builders of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ instead of dividers and disunified. Let us be encouragers and unify ourselves and get along with one another. As the Word of God says, to bear one another's burdens. Be family of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's build each other up in this year of our commitment to God and to His church. When people get committed, did you know when people get committed to God's work and God's word and God's church, the body of Christ, then we can be used for the glory of God in so many ways. Right? I mean, I hear of churches dividing and splitting and everything else, and I think, God, how can you work in a situation like that? And half the church goes this way, half the church goes this way, and God's standing there saying, where do I go? You know, who do I go with? You know, He will probably go with both of them because He wants to be with us. But He looks at these kinds of things. I believe the heart of God is broken and saddened when He sees the body of Christ split up and broken. I mean, God came to mend the broken pieces. And here humanity is breaking the pieces all again. I mean, it just diverts the work of God, what He's trying to do in our hearts and our life. I mean, Jesus is building the church. And the church needs to be committed to God because Jesus is committed to the church. And the last time I looked, we are a church. Amen? So God wants to do some great things. So let's go higher this year. Amen? Let's go higher. Let's go higher than we've ever been before. Praise God. So here with Joshua, the scenario is all there for us. Moses has died. The nation of Israel is at a standstill. They have paused in their pursuit of the land flowing with milk and honey, the promised land. And with the leader Moses gone, they need a leader who is going to finish the job. They need a leader who's going to take them on. Isn't that right? And so I want to give you five things today that will kind of show you what is happening here. Five words here. They all start with the letter F. If you want to write those down, that's you go ahead. But as I look at this, really, God looks down on the sorrow that's going on, that's happening with the death of Moses, and he is really saying to this nation right now, this cannot go on any further. This cannot go on any further. If you were to look back in the last chapter of Deuteronomy, just before Joshua chapter 1, you'll find in verse 10, it says, with the death of Moses, the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab, and they did that for 30 days. Moses' death had a very significant effect on the people. I mean, it made them stop dead in their tracks. It made them pause. They were at a standstill in their march into the promised land. So we find here in Joshua chapter 1 exactly what God needed to say to Joshua at that time. And maybe there is somebody here today that needs to hear this message as well, because I believe the Word of God is still alive today. Even though it was spoken into the heart of Joshua, it may be spoken into our hearts today. And we just may receive something from God today. Are you open? Are you expecting? I mean, here's what God says to Joshua in verse 10. Moses, my servant, is dead. Fact. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan. In other words, that's enough. Moses was a great man of God, but he is gone. He's gone. There could be nothing worse than a child of God paralyzed, unable to go forward. We've been made to go forward. Amen. We've been made. We were born again to go ahead. Go ahead. Go into all the world and preach the good news. We were made to go and do the duties of the Lord Jesus Christ. There can be nothing worse when a Christian gets paralyzed and stands still and does nothing. There can be nothing worse than that. And many pastors and leaders have gone, come and gone in this church, yet God's work is still going on. Isn't that right? And I believe that if you were to somehow get some message from any of these pastors, if they wrote a letter, whatever, and they were dead and gone for years and years and years, I'm sure the message would be, build the church, keep working, keep doing it, keep doing what many of the people started, and keep going with all the things that God has planted in this community in Cornwall. Keep doing what you know what is right. Keep on going, keep on going. And I believe that a lot of pastors and leaders of the churches of Cornwall Pentecostal Church over the years would say just those things to you and I. Don't stop. Keep going. You, I, all of us, we must get going on with what God has in store for us. And it's incredible, the things in life that could bring us to standstills. Have you ever been at a standstill? I mean, the death of Moses brought it all to this point in verse 1, and same for us. Sometimes events in life kill us spiritually and emotionally. We are brought to standstills in our life. Can't move. It's hard to breathe. Hard to think. You're taken up with the reason why you're at your standstill. You're consumed with the time that you're in. You're consumed with the battle. You're consumed with the desert. Whoever you're going through, you consume it. It's like we can't go forward, nor can we go backward. We are practically paralyzed in our walk with God. Have you ever felt like that? It's not a nice feeling. It's almost like you can't feel God. The hurt, whatever you're experiencing, has gone deep. The sorrow is tremendous. The weight is something that's very hard to carry in your life. I mean, and you don't share with anybody else because you don't want them to know what you're going through, so you're paralyzed. You sit in church and you put a smile on your face, but you're paralyzed. You can't do anything. You don't tell anybody what you're going through, and I'm no way belittling any of the sorrow that you and I face in our life, but we need to pick up at times and just get past what we're going through. We can't cry over spilt milk anymore. We got to mend those broken pieces, and that's what Jesus came to do. But we know the events of life, and something make us feel like we are shackled. Some of those things make us feel like we're barred and pinned down and trapped and all those things. In fact, it's got us with our feet sinking deep in the life that we live. Life events can do those things to us. The stuff that happens in our life can bring us down and paralyze us at times and can almost make us forget about God. And can almost take the music out of our heart. I don't feel like singing. I know it's a victory song, but I don't feel like singing that song. And we lose our music. We lose our tune. We get paralyzed. God needed to intervene with this nation of Israel and with the new leader coming on, the assistant to Moses, and say something very plainly. And he says it very, very plainly. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. He's gone. Moses is dead. Now, therefore, arise. That's a deep message, isn't it? Arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Arise. Get back up. Keep on keeping on. Stop being paralyzed. Stop crying in your soup. Stop doing the things that are keeping you from what God wants to do in our lives. Arise, get up, and get going. Amen? I mean, the message can't be any plainer. Arise, get away from that place that you've stopped in. It's long enough. You've been there. Get on moving and get going to where God is taking us. Hallelujah. Maybe somebody here today needs to hear that. I don't know, but God is telling you, get going. Get going. Get going. Arise, get up. Why does God want us to rise? Because we cannot, number two, forfeit the plans and the purposes and the things that God wants to do through each and every one of us as individuals and also of this church. Because it says in verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Do we know the importance of strategy and the value of God's word? The vision? Anybody ever got a vision? I like visions. I like visions. You know, and we were singing that song this morning. We're so secure, held in his hand, in his hand. I was sitting there thinking, you know, remember when the children were brought to Jesus and they got up on his lap and all the disciples were, get the noisy kids out of here. And Jesus said, forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. This is what I want. You know, and it's kind of like, you know, I was sitting there singing this song, and all of a sudden, you know, when I sing songs, I see things. I don't know about you, but I don't know, but if you've seen any pictures of a dad sitting in this big lazy boy or easy chair, you know, with the big arms on it, and a dad sitting there, and a little girl's on his lap, and he's opened up a book, and he's reading a book to her, and her head's kind of gone back on the shoulder, and I don't know, but whether we've seen pictures like that or not, that's what I was getting this morning when I was singing that song. I just saw this dad with a child just leaning on his shoulder, and he just reading a story, and she's just soaking it up and looking up at the dad, and just, you know, can't be anything wrong in that kind of a picture. And I believe that's exactly where God wants us to be. But, you know, we get visions. God drives us to place in our life where God speaks to deep into our very innermost being and tells us to do things. And we need to heed the voice of the Holy Spirit. We get that motivation. And God is telling us things in our life. And he's trying to get us to arise and get going and get that feeling. As I said to Moses, in other words, get that back in you. Remember what I told to Moses? Get it in you. What I said to Moses? Get it in you. What I said in the Bible? Get it in you. 2017, what God spoke of back then? Get it in you. Get it in you. Get the same words that God spoke to somebody back in those days and get it in you. Amen? That's what God is saying to us. Don't let the devil say, well, that was for Joshua. That was for way back then. No, God is trying to get it in us now. God's trying to build his word up in us in 2017, so we'll walk in the Holy Spirit. Amen? I love the word of God. And I was reading again this week in Hebrews in my chronological reading. I was reminded, you know, the power of the word of God. The power of the word of this, I mean, if we say it's for Joshua, not for us, we're losing out on the power that God has for us. And as I read this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Wow. To read the word of God and realize that that's what's going to happen when we read it, then there's going to be something released in our lives from the power of God. Amen? So the word to Moses was alive. And God wants Joshua to get that same feeling. I have given you, as I said to Moses, I give to you. And really what God is saying, not only give I to you, but to every generation that follows this word. So it's an ongoing thing, the word of God. It doesn't stop anywhere. Keeps going, hallelujah. Doesn't matter how the word comes to us in this church, you know, the encouragement that comes to us, the blessings that come to us, whether we get a vision, we get a moving of the Spirit and a word of prophecy, an interpretation of tongues, whatever we get, and whether we have a committee meeting and start forming strategies and do things for the glory of God. Doesn't matter how it comes, as long as we get doing stuff. As long as we keep moving forward, amen? When we all get a hold of it, if God shows us something, then let's get it done. Let's get it done. Let's not stand on the by side and watch somebody else do it. Let's get it done as a body of believers, amen? God gives it to us. It's for Cornwall Pentecostal Church. Let's not say, well, it's just for half the church. It's for the whole church. The whole church moves in it, amen? Not only does God say to arise and say that where they are going is God's doing under his feet, but isn't it interesting that God gets very specific in saying what this land looks like? I like this. When you get down to what God says, not only is it going to be under the sole of your feet, but I want to give you the parameters of what I'm going to show you, what its dimensions are. And that's why it says in verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. Aren't you glad God gets specific? You know, we go around sometimes as Christians, I don't know what God wants. I don't know where he's taking me. I don't know what he's saying. Sometimes we just say we don't know what to do. You know, we have no direction. We're at a standstill in our walk. I don't feel anything. Don't hear from God anymore. You know, the church needs to get back to prayer. The church needs to get back to prayer. You're not hearing from God? Start doing some talking. Start doing some talking. You need to hear from God. And I believe that we need to get back to prayer because the more we wait on God, the more we will hear from God. And some people think that, well, I don't like prayer meetings. They're boring and they don't do it the way that I thought a prayer meeting would go and we have all of our ideas and everything else. Look, you know, it's the same thing with music. Like, you know, whether you like gospel quartets or you like rock and roll style Christian music or you like praise and worship or you like pop music or anything else, doesn't matter as long as you get the river going. And when you come to a prayer meeting, you know, I find the prayer meetings are so powerful, so good. I like getting into the prayer meetings. I just think they're so powerful and so great. I love them, Louise. And it doesn't matter how you do it, you know, because I look at people as a pastor, and I see people doing things in the church. I don't come up and say, you know, Louise, you shouldn't do it like that. Do it like I want it. You know, that's the way the prayer meeting should go. Then you'll have a lot more success in the prayer meeting if you do it as the pastor wants it. Miles, if you'd only lead a song service the way I want it, you know, the way I think that if you did it always the way I want it, we'd have a lot better song services in the church. Pierre, if you only do the Bible study the way I want the Bible study to go, it would be a lot better on Wednesday nights. We'd have a lot more people if you do it like I want it to go. Isn't that crazy? We just come in and say, Louise, you've got a gift. I stand with you. I back you up. I'm your biggest supporter. Miles, when you stand up here, I'm your biggest supporter. I love to worship. Doesn't matter what the songs are. I just love getting into music and worship. Hallelujah. And Pierre, when you do the Bible studies, man, they're fantastic. I just soak it up, and I'm your biggest supporter. I just stand with you in the Bible study. And that's the way the church should be. Amen. Instead of always saying, but they're not doing it my way. Praise God. Let them do it their way because they've got a gift and let them use their gifts. Amen. And we are big supporters and we come into a prayer meeting and we come to wait upon God. We're not looking at Louise or anything else or the way it's done. We come in to wait upon God and to listen for what he's going to say to you and I in the meeting and the direction he's going to give to us. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Praise God. All he had to do when God spoke to Joshua, was believe it in faith. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. These are the parameters of what we're going to do, and God is going to give us parameters too. Did you know that? God is going to give us direction. God is going to show us. Start listening to his voice. He'll show you. He'll give you everything that we need. All they had to do was just believe. Believe in faith and then start moving. And then number three, I put that word right in the middle, fall. That's not a season of the year. Because God said this, no one can stand before you. Why? Because of God. And because of God, all those who try will fall. No man should be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Now, here's a beautiful verse that we often quote for. We only quote part of it, though, don't we? Always just, I will not leave you nor forsake you. I love that part, and you probably love it, right? But no man shall be able to stand before you. No one can thwart the plans of God, is really what God is saying. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. So remember Moses. I was with him. Everyone saw how I was with him. In the same way I was with Moses, I will be with you. In other words, God's trying to say, Joshua, have you got that? You got it? Church, have you got it? As I was with Moses, as I was with Joshua, I will be with you. No one will be able to stand against you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So remember that. We've had many people over the years, saints of God, pillars of the church, those we saw God use, we saw, heard, felt the tremendous blessings fall, answers to prayer. Sometimes we may feel it was only for them. You know, the church started in 1923, but God is still showing us today in 2017. Here we are today. I mean, God's not giving up. And we can't give up either, amen? Just as I was with them in 1923, I will be with you. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. I often wonder if you can see down from heaven. You ever wonder that? I wonder if the pastors and board members and church members of over the years of this church are down there. Come on, guys. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep going. There's darkness in the city of Cornwall. Darkness in the surrounding areas. Don't give up, church. I believe that would be the message they probably gave us. And if we do that and we go ahead and we quote our favorite part, I will not leave you nor forsake you. That's a good part. And because of that fact about God being with us, we need to hear this today in 2017 if we desire to go higher in God. Be strong and of a good courage, for this people you should divide as an inheritance, it says in verse 6, which I swore to their fathers to give them. I like those two words, strong and courage. Be strong and have a good courage. Isn't that great? Two words we need, strong and courage. Strong and courage. I mean, if you're going to dig deep, you got to be strong and courage. If you're going to climb high, you got to need strength and courage. Praise God. As I looked at that word strong in the Hebrew, the word is hazak, H-A-Z-A-Q. It means to fasten upon. Interesting, isn't it? That's how strong it's telling us to be. Fasten upon that. Seize it. And it also brings in the word, be obstinate. In other words, don't give up. Be incredibly strong in that area, not letting go. And if God gives us a vision, and God says something to us and drops a nugget into our hearts, be obstinate. Don't let it go. Keep that vision going. Be strong. And then that word courage is in the Hebrews, A-M-E-S, aims, it sounds like. It means to be alert. Mentally, physically, steadfast-minded, and prevail, and even brings with the same idea this obstinate feeling of not letting go. In the days that we live, churches today in 2017 cannot afford to be lukewarm. cannot afford to be lukewarm. But the church needs to be strong and of a good courage. In fact, these two words bring us to what God has in store. For to this people you should divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to the fathers to give you. Can we see what God has in store? Or are we like the nation of Israel so often? We just march around mountains wondering what's next, who will lead us, who will be looking after that or doing this or anything else. We're just marching around the mountains and, you know, it's, church is still going, you know, and all that good stuff. We're just marching. Are we ready to go higher than God? See, God repeated many of these things here. And in verse 7, he says strong and courageous. And he added this fact, which is already had, because when we get it deeper in God, we'll go higher in God. Then he says, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. When you get something in God, don't go somewhere else. Amen. Amen? When you get something, don't turn to the left or to the right, that you may prosper wherever you go. And this is similar to what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift which God has in you through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Let us as a church not dare to go where God has not told us to go. When you do that, you get yourself into trouble. Don't listen to anything that distracts or takes you away from what God has laid in your heart, and that nugget, and that vision, and that goal, and the directions, and the specifics, and all the things that God does. Don't listen to anything that distracts from his plans and his purpose. There's a lot of stuff out there today. I mean, there's so much. In our world of technology, TV, media, tapes, DVDs, and everything else, there is so much stuff out there. And you could be a Catholic one Sunday, a Baptist the next Sunday, Pentecostal the next Sunday, and Presbyterian the next Sunday, and everything else. I mean, just listening to all this stuff. You know, I've over the years, I've said if I'm going to be a Pentecostal, I want to be the best Pentecostal I can be. And I want to fill myself with Pentecostal teaching, Pentecostal doctrines, Pentecostal music. I love singing about the Holy Spirit. I love singing about the fires of the river, the flow, everything else. You know, I just want to get myself into more Pentecost. Bring on the Pentecost. Bring it on, God. That's what I want. You've called me into a Pentecostal church, so I'm going to be the best Pentecostal Christian, saint, born-again believer, filled with the Holy Spirit that I can be for God. Amen? That's the way we should be in our life. Praise God. I don't want to be a Baptist one Sunday and a Catholic the next Sunday. I just want to do what God wants to do. Don't lean to the left. Don't lean to the right. Just keep pursuing. Keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Just keep following. Keep listening. Keep going the direction that God has in store for us. Amen? And God has a success story all written for us. It's beautiful. The fourth word there, fail, fail, fail. Because he wrote the story for Joshua and the nation of Israel. And I want to let you know, the story of God cannot fail. Did you know that? Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You know, and comparing Joshua to Moses, not in personality, but rather in what was being received, namely the book of the law. It's the creed, it's the credibility, it's the concept. The word of God will not fail. The word of God will not fail. It cannot fail. This is what can never leave you. It will never leave you. Keep it in your mouth. Keep it in your heart. Keep it in your songs. Keep it in your meditation. Keep it with you in the daytime. Keep it with you in the nighttime. But just keep it. It cannot depart from you. It will not fail. The word of God cannot depart from us. God's word never, never, ever, ever, never, never, ever, ever fails. Amen? It's exactly what God told the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 55. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, don't believe that, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing which I sent it out. As I told to Moses, I tell you, Joshua, it will make your way prosperous. The word of God will give you blessings and pour upon you in your walk, in your life, in your family, in your seasons of life, and everything that you and I go through. The word of God will never, ever fail us. As I told Joshua, which has nothing to do with our bank account when we look at that word of prosperous, how much wealth we could ever accumulate, but has everything to do with God's word, how prosperous we could get in the things of God, how prosperous we can get in the knowledge of God, how prosperous we can get into the Spirit of God, how prosperous we can get into the music of God, how prosperous we can get into the blessings falling upon our life and our family. I want to be prosperous that way. I want to be rich in God, knowing my family is saved and they're going to heaven. I want to be rich man on this earth and take everybody with me and lay up treasures in heaven. How about you? I mean, can we feel today in any way what Joshua felt as he was ready to step out for God? Lead this people? Lead God's people? Who, me? Who, me? Walk into that promised land. Let the strength and courage of God be in him. Climb higher. How can I do that? How can I do that? Well, the last word is, Joshua, if you're going to fear what God's going to do, you probably won't be a good leader. But you cannot fear. Verse 9 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and have a good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. If we're going to be a spiritual person for God, you say, oh, what do they think of me if I do that? You know, I don't know. I don't have the talents or the abilities or whatever. You know, I don't feel like I would be a good leader. I could do a good part of this or do that in the church or anything else. And we have all these things. We're dismayed. We're in fear. All these kinds of things are driving into our hearts. But we need to stand up. Notice how often these verses get repeated and drive it home all the time. How often do we need to hear again and again the word of God? Because sometimes it just doesn't take effect the first time. That's why we need to read it over and over and over again. I'm getting all prepped up and ready for my next reading, a chronological reading. You know, this will be, our third or fourth time? It's really, I'm getting pumped over reading the Word of God chronologically. I don't know if you've never read the Word of God chronologically, but start doing it this year. Make a New Year's resolution, because God wants to do something in our hearts. If we have a desire to climb higher, he's going to take us there. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. This is a powerful message to this man, Joshua, to the nation of Israel, to the people of God then, and to the church of Jesus Christ now. Anyone who desires to follow God, to head over onto the promised land, you've got to say, God, then you're going to have to lead me. And God will lead us. So, we were challenged last year to dig deeper. This year, let's climb higher. You know that song that Moses and the children of Israel sang when they were at the Red Sea? And it was such a beautiful victory song, and it was a glorious song. And they were probably just dancing, and Miriam was playing the tambourine, and they're just shouting. I mean, just to look at the enemy just in that water, gone, no longer coming after us. Isn't that great? Like, I think that was so powerful a message to get across them. The enemy's gone. Isn't that great? Then I started thinking about, you know, that was a powerful song, and it was a song for a while here on earth while we're walking on earth. Then I started thinking about something else in the book of Revelation. Because there's another song, a song of Moses. And it says over in Revelation chapter 15, then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of gold. Amen. We're all going to be musicians. Isn't that great? Okay, you don't think it's great. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, we heard this to music a few years ago, didn't we? You remember how it goes, Betty? Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord, Lord Almighty. But anyway, just let me read. I don't want to throw you off because this is a powerful portion of Scripture. Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. Isn't that wonderful? Back then with Moses and Miriam and the nation of Israel, to one day, not only Moses and the servant of God and the song of the Lamb. We know the song of the Lamb, don't we? We know the Lamb. He's the victorious Lamb. He's the bright and glorious Lamb. He's our Savior. His name is Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would the worship team come, please? So you want to climb higher this year? The music has got to stay in us. The music. I mean, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. We need to keep our music. If the music fades, something's going to happen to us in this walk, in this life for our God. So do you want to climb higher? January 22nd on Giselle's birthday. I want to climb higher. I want to go higher. God, what have you got in store this year? Just as you were with the people in this church before us, before the other pastors, the other leaders, everybody else, so you will be with us. The same way you spoke to them, you're going to speak to us. The same way you did things back then, you saved people, you're going to save today. The same things that you did, miracles, signs, and wonders you did back in those days, God, you're going to do in our day as well. The same river that flowed back in those days is going to flow today. I want to climb higher and I want to get to that place, oh God, and see in 2017 where these things are going to happen. How about you? Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you what you spoke to Joshua. Thank you what you spoke into the heart of Moses. Thank you what you spoke into the heart of David. Thank you what you spoke into the heart of Solomon. Thank you what you spoke into those 12 disciples. Thank you what you spoke into the heart of Paul. But God, thank you today for what you're speaking into the heart of Cornwall Pentecostal Church. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Your word is not dead. It's alive. It's the same word that you spoke back then. Same message. It's alive today in 2017. Help us, oh God, if we're at a standstill this morning, if there's anybody here paralyzed, if there's anybody just felt deep down in that pit of despair and the things that they're feeling and they can't move, they can't hear, they can't sense, they can't do anything. God, I ask for a freedom this morning. I ask for the power of the name of Jesus to release anybody from that paralyzed state to be able to stand up and hear that word like you said to Joshua, arise, 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 get up and go over to the land that I'm showing you, leading you to, taking you to. God's saying, arise this morning, get away from that paralyzed state, stand up, be strong, be of a good courage. Don't falter. Don't fail. Don't lean back. Don't worry about the enemy all around you. I've looked after them. They'll be put in fear of you because you're standing for me. The word of God will not depart from your mouth. It will not walk away from you. The word of God will be your sustenance. It'll be your substitute. It'll be everything to you today. The word of God is going to be the cream of the crop. It's going to be something that takes you over the top. It's going to allow you to climb higher. It's going to take you into a place that you never even thought you'd be in. God is going to take us this morning to a place that we would never, ever even dream that we would be in. God's going to take us by the Holy Spirit. He's going to lead us by the hand. He's going to allow us to sense His guidance, His direction through the word of God. But God, help us. Help us as a church to learn from the Word of God. Help us as a church to be prayer warriors. Help us to come to prayer times. Help us to lean upon you, God. Help us to trust in you. Help us to put our foot in front of the other foot and get walking. Help us to get going for the glory of God. Help us as a church today, Lord God, in 2017, because you're going to do something great and powerful. Lord, we have visions. We have dreams. We have the momentum. We have the power, the strength, everything. We're waiting with you, Lord God. We'll take you by the hand. Wherever you take us, we thank you. Praise you, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe the Lord has got more to say this morning. Let's just wait for a moment. I just feel that He wants to say something else to encourage us. Hallelujah. Jesus. Oh, praise you. Praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Father. It's always good to get a confirmation of your word, Lord. Thank you that we're Pentecostal people, Lord, believing in the moving of the Holy Spirit. We believe that in 2017, you still are alive in us. Still move, still do things according to the word. We thank you, Lord God, that the word is alive in us, leading us, taking us somewhere. So I pray this morning, Lord, for every person that this word is for, Lord, I pray that we would not shun our life from it, but hear it and speak unto it in our lives. May it take us according to what you have for us in our lives, Lord. Take us to where you want us to be in our lives. God, thank you. Lord, we want to climb higher. Want to climb higher. So much in store for us, Lord. God, the only thing that has limited our lives is us. God, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord God. We want to go deeper in you, higher in the things of Christ. Oh, bless you, bless you, bless you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Do you believe that God wants to do something? Amen? I do. I believe that He wants to take us to new heights, do great things in our lives. We cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We cannot shun the gospel of Christ, but allow ourselves to be taken with it, taken into it, walk with it, walk in the Spirit, like Paul says, to live in the Spirit, sing in the Spirit. Just know those things because God wants the river to flow this morning. Amen? God wants to do great things. Hallelujah. So I challenge you, and I double dog dare us, every one of us, to climb higher this year. Just get to that place. Don't let the paralyzed state and the enemy lie to you any longer. Just say, that's it. I heard the word this morning. Arise. Get up. Get going. Walk to the land where God is taking us. Amen. Hallelujah. What do you got? Praise God.
Arise and sing, ye children of Zion, for the Lord has delivered thee. Arise and sing, ye children of Zion, for the Lord has delivered thee.
Arise and sing.
Arise and sing, ye children of Zion, for the Lord has delivered thee.
Whoa!
Arise and sing, ye children of Zion, for the Lord has delivered thee.
Yeah.
Open up your heart and rejoice before Him. Open up your heart and rejoice before Him. Open up your heart and rejoice before Him, for the King is our God.
Hallelujah!
Arise and sing, ye children of Zion, for the Lord has delivered thee.
Hey!
Arise and sing, ye children of Zion. deliver thee.
Hey!
Arise and sing, ye children of Zion, for the Lord deliver thee.
Open up your hearts
and rejoice before him. Open up your hearts and rejoice before him. Open up your hearts and rejoice before him. For the King is our God.
Open up your heart.
Open up your heart and rejoice before him. Open up your hearts and rejoice before him. Open up your hearts and rejoice before him. For the King is our God. Arise and sing, ye children of Zion, for the Lord has delivered thee. Arise and sing, ye children of Zion, for the Lord has delivered thee.
Arise and sing, ye children of Zion, for the Lord has delivered thee.
Arise and sing, ye children of Zion, for the Lord has delivered thee.
I like that part where it says, open up your hearts. Can you see it? I mean, Ron, you're going for heart surgery in a little while. They're going to open you up, expose the physical heart. But I believe spiritually God is saying, expose the spiritual heart. Open up your heart to what God wants to do in our lives. Amen? Open up your heart. Open up your life. Let God flow by His Holy Spirit into us. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You are truly a wonderful, good God. We love you. We love the way you move in our lives. We want more of that, Lord. We want more. We want to climb higher. We want to see the things that you have ready in store for us, Lord God. There's so many things that you want to pour upon the church, and sometimes we are not prepared or ready for those things. So, God, let us climb higher, Lord, and get ready for the things that you have prepared for us, prepared for this church, prepared for this city and the communities around us. God, get us ready for the things that you are ready to do throughout this whole area. God, even tonight as we come together as six churches, Lord, let there be just a power and a demonstration of your Holy Spirit tonight, where the churches come together and the place where we are praying will be shaken because of the glory of God. We love you, we love you, we love you. Go with us now, Lord God, and let us climb higher all this year. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 Amen.